Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 4 of the study of 1 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Corinthians 14, 21 through 25. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. We want to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 21. In the law, it is written, "With other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then, they will not listen to me," says the Lord. Now, many people think of the law when it's referenced as the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's not what Paul is referencing here. Many times in Scripture, there are technical definitions of things and then more broad, generalized definitions of things. The law can technically mean the first five books of the Bible, or it, more generally, it can mean all of the Old Testament. And that's what Paul is using it as here, because the law that he's referring to is actually Isaiah. This is Isaiah, I believe, 28, 11 and 12 is what he's quoting. And so this isn't technically the law. It's not the first five books of the Bible, but he's speaking of, you know, the whole of the Old Testament. Other biblical authors, Old and New Testament, would do the same kind of thing. But this is going to be a very interesting passage. What Paul's saying here, it's a bit obscure, because what he's been talking about this whole time is that, you know, listen, prophecy is actually very useful for people inside and outside the church, but tongues really aren't that useful in the church service because no one can understand them. So I would generally prefer you stay away from using tongues in public worship, in services. Now, I've said that every time we've talked about that, I've said that with a caveat, and it's because of what Paul's going to say here and what he's going to say in the passage we're going to be looking at tomorrow. We're going to get in the weeds a little bit here on some technicalities, and it's all based off of what he's saying in this passage right here. It's very interesting. It's strange and it's difficult. The things that Paul has to say in these passages we're looking at today and tomorrow, they're very challenging. They're very difficult. There's a lot of struggle over today's and tomorrow's content. And the thing about today that's very interesting is trying to discern what exactly Paul is saying here. Why is he quoting this passage from Isaiah right before he's going to talk about tongues? Let's continue on real quick. Verse 22, "Tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers." So right there, it almost sounds like Paul is saying the exact opposite of what he's been saying throughout this entire chapter. Right there, he's almost saying tongues is what you want to have going on in a church service for when unbelievers come in, because it's a sign to them. And prophecy is the last thing you want if there's unbelievers coming into your service. So why is Paul turning everything on its head here? Well, let's continue reading and see what he's on about here. Verse 23, "So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, 'God is really among you.'" So if you're keeping track there, it sounds like for a third time in the same chapter, Paul just contradicted himself. Spent the entire first half of the chapter saying, go for prophecy, not for tongues. Prophecy is what's helpful in a public setting. Tongues are not helpful in a public setting. And then here in verse 22, he says, tongues are a sign and prophecy is for not for unbelievers, but believers. And then immediately he says, but if you speak in tongues, no one will understand what you're saying and they'll think you're crazy. But if everyone prophesied, then somebody in the group is going to prophesy over that visitor that's coming and is going to lay all of the secrets of their heart bare, and they're going to fall on their face and say, oh my gosh, there really is a God. So why the flip-flopping? What Paul is saying, and again, I mentioned this, is that he is going to make a case for tongues usage in a corporate service. It's limited, but he's going to make this case for it. And here he's quoting this passage, kind of an obscure passage in Isaiah, where Isaiah is prophesying the coming doom of the tribe of Ephraim as they would be conquered and deported by the Assyrians. But Paul is taking that and using it here, and he's saying that you know, with these other tongues, and in some translations it talks about babbling tongues, and almost alluding to this babbling of what the gift of tongues sounds like. And I think that's why he was alluding to a different translation, say, with other babbling tongues and the lips of foreigners. The Lord says, it'll speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So he's prophesying this against Ephraim, and he's saying, I've talked to you, I've spoken to you over and over and over again. When I send foreigners to you with the same message to repent or you're going to be destroyed, you won't listen to them either. And so in this way, Paul is saying, because what that was to Ephraim, if you don't listen to the people you're supposed to love and revere, why would you listen to foreigners? It would be what this passage in Isaiah is trying to say is, if we had great prophets in the United States getting up and saying we have to repent and turn away from our wickedness or God's going to destroy us, if we didn't listen to those, if we treated them like sandwich board crazies, would we listen to someone from Al-Qaeda or ISIS or the Taliban who came over and preached that same message? No, we wouldn't. Absolutely not. And that's the same point here. But the Lord is saying, listen, I'm going to raise up people that you hate. People you want nothing to do with are going to come and preach the truth to you. So you will have heard it from your enemies and you still don't believe. So using tongues in a corporate setting, that's what Paul is alluding to here. Tongues can be that thing that unbelievers come in and hear, and they think this is crazy, and they reject God because of it. No one rejects God ever because it makes sense to do that. No one ever rejects God because it's wise. People reject God because of sin. So if an unbeliever comes in and their heart is already hardened from sin and they hear all of this babbling in tongues and say, well, y'all are just crazy. I want nothing to do with this God of yours. That's the Lord actually hardening their hearts. It's the same type of thing that Jesus quoted as saying, you know, when he told them why he spoke in parables, he quotes Isaiah again and said, and he said, it's so that you'll be ever hearing and never perceiving, because your hearts were so hard, you hardened your hearts to me for so long, I will send you voices that you will hear and never accept. And it's the same kind of thing. When Paul says it's a sign, It's something that will expose the inner workings of someone's heart who's already rejected God. So they're going to come in. They've already rejected God. And they come into a church service just one more time to give this crazy God guy a chance. And they hear tongues. And they say, oh, well, you're just crazy. I want nothing to do with this God. That's the most unwise thing you could ever do. If there's a real God who really holds sway over your eternal fate and condition, it matters absolutely nothing how his representatives represent him in your opinion. If there's really a God with a real set of standards by which you must live by or receive eternal punishment, or if there's a real God who's offered you redemption and you don't like his people, so you reject him, that is the most foolish thing on earth. And that's what this passage is talking about. Tongues then become that sign that locks that heart that's already determined to reject God anyway. It will lock that heart forever. Or maybe we'll release it. Like the story that I told you the other day about the man that walked in and heard this pastor who was actually speaking in tongues speak in his dialect. But at that point, I believe maybe it requires the gift of ears, not just the gift of tongues. But Paul goes on, he says, if you're all prophesying, if everyone in the church prophesied, when that unbeliever comes in, it's no longer a sign. They're going to be convicted of their sin because they're going to hear that there really is a God. So if the Lord ever inspired a full group of people to speak in tongues all at the same time in church, it might just mean that the Lord is giving some sinner that has rejected God over and over and over again one more chance to humble themselves and say, even though I think you people are crazy, it would probably be foolish for me to reject God, even though I don't like what you're doing. That's what this is about. Paul really hasn't walked back this idea that tongues are not all that useful in the corporate setting, but he's not going to reject them outright because it says, he's basically acknowledging here, sometimes the Lord will use this to expose the hearts of those that will humble themselves and to expose the hearts of those that have hardened their hearts repeatedly and will do so again and reject God one more time. So he's not flip-flopping here. He's being specific that sometimes the Lord will use tongues in a corporate setting to expose the hearts of unbelievers that walk in and happen upon this. But if you're asking for spiritual gifts, if you're going to ask, you know, if you can ask for anything, like Paul said in verse 1, ask for prophecy. And here's why. Because if the Lord's going to give you the freedom to either speak in tongues or prophesy, choose prophecy and let everyone in the room prophesy. Just let prophecy go crazy. Get crazy, go nuts with prophecy because it's going to lay bare the secrets of their hearts. I've experienced this so many times and it's so amazing because it reminds me that there's a real God and he sees me. He knows me. And it's so powerful. It moves me. It changes me. It stirs me. For unbelievers to come in contact with that, it can change their life in an instant. And it's powerful. So if you've got a choice, ask the Lord for prophecy. But if the Lord says, everybody babble in tongues, and look around and see who the visitors are, and make a beeline for them and beg them not to reject God because it may be their last chance. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It helps other people find out about this podcast. Also, you can listen to the podcast on Google Play or Stitcher. Let other people know that they can find it there as well. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.